good all the time. We had a good time Sunday night, didn't we? Amen. That was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. It's good when the family of God can come together and just have a big time like that. Praise God. It was good. Man, those slushies were good too, weren't they? The little ices. Got me some peach. It was good. If you didn't try peach, you missed it. That's all I can tell you. Amen. You might know that I like peach a little bit, so, you know, it's, especially in something like that. All right, John chapter 5. Let's begin to read verse 2 now. It says, "Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withering, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith to him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith to him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." Now, this is a very familiar story for us, and so I want to just kind of get into this by just talking about the fact that, you know, he had some excuses why he hadn't been made whole. Now, here's the thing about us. Christians love excuses. I got one, yeah, one amen. Whether we'll admit it or not, we love excuses. We could look around here, and if we started calling, there'd be excuses. Why I'm not at church and why I'm not coming to serve the Lord I worship. Come on, this guy had an excuse why he hadn't been made whole. But then when Jesus came on the scene, guess what? He had no more excuse. Can I get an amen from somebody? Now listen, when you got Jesus in your life, you really don't have an excuse not to come and worship Him. I don't care what's going on. When you say, yeah, but I've got this and I've got that, I've got this and that. Let me ask you something. Which is more important in your life, Jesus or this and that? Amen. Come on, see, we have to look at this, folks, and I don't care, you know, I know it makes people mad when we talk about it, but we have to understand the importance of putting God first in our life and not making excuses to put Him on the back burner while we put something else on the front burner. Amen. So we have to make up our mind. Excuse me. We have to choose what we're going to do. Are we going to put Jesus first? Are we going to put something else first? Are we going to allow God to be God in our life? Or are we going to allow something else to be God in our life? Because anything you're putting before Jesus, that becomes your God. Come on now. You see, here's the thing. If we want eternal life, then we got to think eternally. So our excuses can't be around the worldly things. Our excuse for not coming and doing something in the world has to be Jesus. Come on. Jesus, you see it on Facebook a whole lot. Jesus ought to be our excuse for not doing other things rather than other things being the excuse we don't come to church. It's true. Now, I know we don't like it. I know it's not popular. I know that we want, you know, to do the things in the world. People want to be popular. They want notoriety. They want social status and all that. But let me ask you something. Will any of that get you to heaven? Come on. You know, will winning a Super Bowl get you to heaven? Come on. Will winning the Final Four get you to heaven? Will being the best dancer in the world get you to heaven? The best actor, will that get you to heaven? Come on, think about it for a minute now. Will having the most money of anybody in the world get you to heaven? Start thinking about it now. So what is it that's more valuable than going to heaven? There ain't nothing. That's right. See, so we have to look and understand this, and when we start understanding it, our excuse is pretty pale. Come on now. Would you, let me ask you this. Would you stand with some of the excuses we've had? And I'll say we because I include myself. Would we stand in front of Jesus and use that for an excuse why we didn't come and worship Him? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we'd kind of be like Saul was on the road to Damascus. Who art thou, Lord? You know, I mean. So we have to understand this guy was making some excuses for not being able to get into the water just like we make excuses why we don't get into the service. You see, we're here today and sometimes we can even come to church and still not get in. We'll come to the building, but we don't get into the service because we've got everything in the world on our mind. So we have to be careful about that too. It's real easy to get distracted with things that you have going on, problems that are going on. It doesn't take much for a distraction. It doesn't take much. For me, just the loss, everything was going, flowing pretty good, and then all of a sudden it's poof, I can't hear very much, and that distracted me for the rest of worship. And see, it might not have bothered you, it might not have changed anything out here, but something changed up here, see, and that's and you say, well, that shouldn't bother you. Well, it just depends on how you're flowing. You know, when we had that service where God was, a few Sundays ago, where God was just really moving in a big time way, I'd sung that song till my throat was just about to give out on me, and we just kept going. But I knew in my spirit that if we change the way this is moving, it'll change the whole atmosphere. There wasn't else we could go to that it would stay that way. It would cause a disconnect. And see, we have to be careful that we don't let things cause a disconnect when God's moving and the Spirit's moving. So if you're not careful, even coming to a service, you won't get into the service because there's things causing disconnect on you. Amen. You can even be thinking about work tomorrow or what you're going to do after a while. You know, will the restaurant be closed before we get out of here today? Will pastor go along? One thing or another. So we got to be careful that we're not letting excuses go on. And sometimes we just got to kind of sharpen ourselves up. In Ecclesians 10:10 it says this, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, I've used this many times. I like this scripture because it just talks about being blunt. If the iron be blunt and you don't whet it, what's that mean? Well, let me put that over in a spiritual thing. If you come in here blunt and you don't start sharpening yourself in the spirit, you're going to have to try to put more effort into it, but it's not going to do any good because you're doing that out of your own self, not allowing the Spirit of God to cut. That's what he's talking about. You know, if you've got a sharp axe, you don't have to put as much pressure to it. And that's what he's saying. You see, so we have to have wisdom to know that when we're coming into the house of God, we ought to be sharpening ourselves in the Spirit before we ever get here. Right? We ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. We ought to be even believing God for signs and wonders and miracles. Come on now. See, but that's not what we want to do. We want to come in and we want to just sit back because we've had a hard day. It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday, Pastor. Don't you know we worked all day? That's even more reason for you to sharpen yourself, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to get yourself stirred up. Yeah, but on Wednesday night, you don't play the same songs you play on Sunday. If it takes a song to get you going, then you've got a problem. Because you ought to be able to get going without the song. The song ought to just kind of enhance it. Amen. Come on. You know, if you had a child out here that's had an accident and you need to pray, I bet you wouldn't have to have a song to pray. Right? Come on, you've got an emergency. Doctor gives you a bad report. You don't got to have a song. Come on now. You see, we take that so lightly and we come in and we're kind of heavy with everything. And we need to be praying and making sure that we're sharp when we come in, expecting God to move and do something in our lives when we come in. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. Now, you know, again, we sharpen ourselves by praying in the Holy Ghost. Look, jump over here with Jude with me. Let me read this to you. In Jude chapter 1, which there's only one chapter, verse 20, says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So see, right there you go. We need to be building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, here's what you have to take into account. 24 hours in the day. You're going to sleep anywhere from 5 to, depends on who you are, 10 hours of that. You know, as you get older, you less sleep less. And the younger folks, sometimes they sleep 10 or 12. But, you know, that only leaves you, right, another 12, even if you slept 12 hours. In that 12 hours, how much of you does the world have? All through the week. And then we come in on a Wednesday night, and hour and a half. Come in on Sunday morning, hour and a half, 2 hours. Out of all that week, the rest of the time, the world has been inputting to you. It's been imposing itself on you. And upon your spirit, and upon your spirit man, and upon your soulish area. And so we think we're just going to waltz in here on Wednesday night and everything's going to be better. No, see, here's the thing. All week long, you ought to be sharpening yourself in the spirit. All week long, even though you're working, you can pray in tongues while you're working. Come on, you can pray in tongues while you're driving. But you see, if we're not careful, the world has such a hold on us, we don't even think about praying. We don't even think about worshiping God while we're out and doing things like that. We wait till we come in on Sunday, and I promise you, if a boxer waits to gets in the ring to practice, how many know he going to get killed? You can't wait till you're stepping in the ring before you then decide, well, I need to learn how to box. You have to be able to get into the Spirit, sharpen your spirit, be ready to shout. As soon as God moves, you can shout. You don't got to work up a shout. Come on now. Now, I know that we're going to talk about a little bit about sacrifices of praise. I know there's times when you're emotionally, you just don't feel like it. There's things going on. But that should not keep you from worshiping and praising and giving God the glory that He should have. That shouldn't keep us from having doing that. Matter of fact, that ought to be even more reason. He goes on and he says, you know, we build up ourselves praying in the Holy Ghost. And verse 21, then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep moving. In John 6:63, it says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. That means makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Everybody say that. The flesh profiteth nothing. That was pretty weak. That's pretty bad. See, that just shows you how much your flesh has got a hold of you right now. You don't even want to open your mouth. The flesh profiteth nothing. See that? We have to might as well submit it. Jesus said it. So if Jesus said it, how many knows it's true? It's the Spirit that makes you alive. It's the Spirit that lifts you up. Come on now. You get up in the morning and you're just down and out. You got a choice. You can stay down and out, or you can let the Spirit lift you up. So he says, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Flesh profiteth nothing. Listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. So that tells you when you're letting your flesh get a hold of you and hold you down, you're not allowing the words of God to lift you up in the Spirit or give you the life that He wants you to have. You have to choose to speak out the life you want. Come on. If you want to have, how many likes having good services? I do. I love having the Holy Ghost filled services. But you know what? That needs to be coming out of our mouth before we ever get here. We're going to have a good service today. The Spirit of God's going to move. If He don't move in nobody else, He's going to move in me. Because, see, I don't have control over you, but I have control over me. Amen. But you see, one person can't make the service be one of those blowouts. It takes everybody that wants to get into the Holy Ghost and get sharpen themselves and get into the flow of what God's doing. But it's choices that we make. We have to choose that that's what we want to do. I know sometimes on Wednesday night it's hard to just even drag yourself out. But you understand that's your flesh pulling you down. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, let's see. If we're down and out and we're acting like we're weak and we can't move, what's that tell you then? Your joy level's low. Right? If you're weak, if you're down, if you're out, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, then apparently we're not operating in too much joy. Amen. Come on. Mark Hankins preaches a message on joy, and he talks about the different levels of joy in it, and it's true. You know, you can have joy one, joy two, joy, you know. What do you want? How much joy you want in your life? Do you want to just want the joy that says, amen, yeah, that's right? Or do you want a joy level that says, yeah, praise God, amen, that's right? Or do you want a joy level that says, yes, hallelujah, that's right? See, you can choose that, and you're looking at all of me, looking at me real funny. You got the Holy Ghost in you, don't you? If I asked you guys to do that right now, you'd probably just look at me funny. Amen. See, we've got to keep ourselves sharp. We've got to let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Listen to Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not worldly stuff. Okay, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? That's what the kingdom of God is. It's not how much money you've got, what you've obtained. Doesn't matter about any of that. Only thing matters is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what the kingdom of God is, and that's what we have operating on us now. So we got to understand this is all going on. So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we better find a way to get a hold of the joy of the Lord. Right? We need to find out how we're going to get this joy stirred up in us. You know, Paul told Timothy, you have to stir up the gift that's in you. Amen. You have to stir. You know, you can put all the ingredients in a cake and put it in a bowl, but if you don't stir it up together, you're not going to end up with much of a cake. Right? Come on, you can put your, if you're using the homemade or store-bought mix, you can put that in there. You can put the egg in there. You can put the milk in there. You can put all that stuff in there, you know, in the bowl, and then just take that bowl over and flop it over in the pan and throw it in the oven, but I promise you it won't come out of cake. You know why? Because it needed to be stirred up. When you stir it up and then put it in the pan, it's going to come out and be a good cake. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't stir yourself up, even though you're here, even though the ingredients are in you, if you don't stir yourself, there's not going to be a praise come out. There's not going to be joy come out. All there's going to be is the same thing that you have right now. Just sitting there, just hurry up, Pastor. Just get us preached out of here. Let's go home. We're going to run by McDonald's and get us something to eat and take home with us. We just all, come on now. You see, and that's the attitude that a lot of folk have. And then a lot of folk just say, well, you know, I'm not even going to go on Wednesday night. They don't think it's important enough. Wonder what would happen if Jesus came back to get the church on Wednesday night. It's interesting, isn't it? Come on now. So if we got to find out, go with in Proverbs chapter 15. Let's look. We're talking about how is it we're going to get the joy of the Lord, because that's our strength. In Proverbs 15:23 gives us pretty simple. It says, Proverbs 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. In other words, if you want to get joy, you're going to have to talk some joy. You're going to have to use that mouth and talk about your joy. Talk about how good God is. Talk about how He's blessed you. Talk out of your mouth what the Word says you are and who the Word says you are. Talking about your situation instead of talking about what's going on, how bad it is, look at the world. No. I want joy in my life, so I'm going to look around and say, I'm still above ground. Me and Deke talking about that, I went back and hugged him when he got here, and he said, I'm a blessed man. I'm still walking around. Come on, think. Well, see, it's not just him because it's not about age. It's about the fact that we are blessed because we are just all walking around. You got here tonight. Come on, they're not wheeling you off in an ambulance to a hospital somewhere. Come on now. You're breathing. They're not putting one of those breathing apparatuses on you in a hospital somewhere. Come on now. You see, you've got everything that God said you could have already on the inside of you, but you need to start talking about it. I got the joy of the Lord. I got strength. I got to come to church. I got to come to church tonight. I didn't have to come to church tonight. Come on now. See, that's the whole attitude that changes everything. It's what you're saying out of your mouth. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to church tonight to get my joy level brought up some. Come on, I'm going to church tonight. I'm going to sing praises unto God. I'm going to talk about how He's a good, good Father. Amen. See, I watch and see as we sing some of these songs. Are you listening to what they say? Because we're singing, "You're a good, good Father." And everybody just kind of just sitting there going, "Is He a good Father? He's a great Father." But when we're singing about it, we act like, "Let's hurry up and get this song over and see what else they got." We're singing about our Heavenly Father and how good He is and how He's brought us out of places and the things that people say about us. But yet, this is what God says about us and how perfect He is in every way. Come on. And the song says, you know, "You draw me closer." That's what God wants. He said, when I be lifted up, when the joy of the Lord's come, when the praise, the worship, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh me. But we're not lifting Him up. We're coming in again and we're acting like we're going to a meeting. Just a meeting, not a Holy Ghost meeting. Come on, there's a big difference between a meeting and a Holy Ghost meeting. If you ever had to sit through meetings, you understand what I'm talking about. Yada, 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 right? Come on. But this is, we're talking about a Holy Ghost meeting here. We're talking about our good, good Father that's perfect in every way, invading us with His Spirit, and we sit there and still act like we're just in a meeting. But we ought to be looking for the joy of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. You all can sense when things are not moving the way they ought to. You can tell it's not there's not the Spirit's not moving like He ought to. You know why? Our fault. If we would start praying in the Holy Ghost, just praying in, forget about what the song's saying even, and pray in the Holy Ghost, what would happen? After a while, you're going to get to, woo, hallelujah. It won't matter what song's playing then because the Holy Ghost is moving on the inside of you now. You done stirred up the power of God. Do you understand that? That when you begin to stir up the Holy Ghost, you're stirring up the very power that created everything around you. You're stirring up the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Come on, somebody. You're stirring up the power that was in a dead man's bones and caused another man to come to life. That power's on the inside of you. And man, we act more dead than the dead guy they throwed in on Elijah's bones. But we got to change that, church. The church has got to change that. We got to realize who we are and what we are and who we have on the inside of us and start walking around in joy instead of acting like the rest of the world. Come on now. So he says we're going to get joy from the answer of our mouth. We're going to talk joy. We're going to speak joy. We're going to speak health. We're going to speak prosperity. We're going to speak blessing. Come on. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to come against you, but you're still going to speak what God says. I want joy operating in my life. I want to see God move in my life. Amen. So he says it's the answer of a mouth. Okay? Man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Now, Proverbs 18:21, familiar. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now that's powerful, even though we don't like the second part of that. Notice that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, what's he saying to us? Very simply, he's saying, you can choose to speak death or life out of your mouth, and whichever one you speak out of your mouth, that's the fruit you're eating. Amen. If you're speaking life, that's the fruit you're eating. But if you're speaking death, that's the fruit you're eating. So we have to choose life. That's what the Word of God tells us to do over in Deuteronomy. Choose life so that you and your descendants can live. But a lot of times if you get around us, Christian folk, you hear a lot of death coming out. We're eating a lot of bad fruit. Come on now. You know, on the way to church, we're sowing bad seed and we're talking bad seed and we're eating a lot of bad fruit on the way here. And then we get here and we try to turn it around. And here's the problem. We've got ourselves loaded up now. It's hard for us to begin to speak life. You get in, you know, and all of a sudden you've been gloom and doom and agony on me, and then you come in and you want to go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We can't do it. That's why our hands stay down here. Come on. That's why you'll just stand around and just kind of look while praise and worship's going on. Because you haven't been getting yourself sharpened up. You haven't been stirring yourself up. You haven't been speaking out what needs to be spoken. Life. We need to speak life. Proverbs 35, 27, 28 says this. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Well, I could stop right there and preach a minute. Let them, look at it. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Anybody in here favor his righteous cause? Hallelujah! Yes! Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. The only reason you're righteous is because the Lord Jesus Christ died so that you could become righteous. That's a reason to shout. Let them shout. Yea, let them say continue. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Uh-oh. Come on, we want prosperity, but we're not necessarily wanting to magnify the Lord like we ought to. Right? Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. All day long. He told Joshua, meditate upon my word day and night. Then you're going to have good success and prosperity. See, our problem is, church, is we check into God and check out to God. Come on. It becomes social media. I'm checking in and checking out. Come on now. You can't just check in and check out. He is a 24-7, 365 God. And He's living us 24-7, 365. Every minute of every day, He's on the inside of us. And He wants us praising Him, worshiping Him 24-7, 365. Amen. I realize you got to go to work. I realize you got things to do. But that should not stop you from recognizing that God is in me. And the reason I'm getting to work today, the reason I'm getting to do this today, the reason I'm here today is because He is in me. And I give Him praise and glorify Him and magnify Him for that. See, it's not a hard thing to do. It's just that we've got ourselves in such a habit of not even thinking about God till it's time to come to church. And then some think to come and some think not to come. Some say I'm going and some say I'm not going. Things coming out of their mouth, you see. And so we need to all day long be praising Him. Now, we'll get into this. I said we would just a little bit. What if I don't feel like shouting? What if I'm tired? What if I've had a hard day? What if things are not going just exactly right? Then that's the best time to shout. That's the best time to shout. Look here in Psalm chapter 27 with me. Jump over here. Psalm 27. Look at verse 4. David writing, he says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Notice that. That I may dwell all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up, mine above my enemies round about me. Therefore, now listen, therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Notice that. He says, even when trouble's coming, when things are happening, God's going to hide me in His pavilion. And when I get into His sanctuary, even though I don't feel like it, I'm still going to offer up sacrifices of joy and praise the Lord. Even though it's not, I'm not feeling it right now. Come on. Aren't there times you go on your job and you're just like, you know, I really ain't feeling this today. But you know what? You got to do your job anyway. Because you can't, if you go tell your bosses, I'm not feeling it today. That's not going to go over very big, is it? Well, what happens when we, can you imagine us going before God? We go before God and just look at God and say, well, now, you know, God, I'm just not feeling it today. Think about that for a minute. That's what we do a lot of times when we come to church. Well, I'm just not feeling it. Well, you know, God says, I told you in my word, go ahead and just offer up a sacrifice of joy. I don't understand, Pastor, sacrifice. Do you remember when Abraham was taking Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him? Do you think that Abraham wanted to put his boy down there on that altar, bound up, and kill him and offer him up as a sacrifice? You think Abraham was shouting and praising and worshiping God? Now, he had faith because he said God will provide him something. But that still doesn't... I mean, he's going through all the motions, folks. That's his baby boy. That's his only baby boy. And he's sacrificing him to God. I'm sure that wasn't a pleasant experience. Now, you had faith all the way. Don't get me wrong. You can have faith and still be to the place where you don't feel like worshiping. But it didn't stop Abraham from going ahead and going through to the point of raising the knife before God said, wait. So what I'm trying to tell you is, even though it doesn't feel good sometimes, you got to just shout anyway. Even if you don't feel like it, you just go ahead and shout anyway. Come on. Listen, folks. It's a shame. And you can get mad at me about this if you want. I don't care. I'm old enough now. I've just learned just don't care. It's a shame when you say, I've seen things posted on Facebook from the pageants and all that stuff downtown. It's a shame when people have to carry their own chair and sit out in the sun and listen to a lot of stuff going on that you sure ain't going to get what you're getting here as far as singing and that kind of thing goes. But then somebody comes out there twisting around, carrying on, and in the crowd, woo! Woo! I mean, the whole time is woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! And we come into the house of God. And our Heavenly Father shows up in His magnificence. And we sit there going. Maybe we could take a lesson from the schools. Because every event I ever been around or seen or watched or seen on Facebook, they're shouting from the stands. Because there's somebody there that they're cheering for. They have joy about that they're there. And it don't matter if they can't sing a lick. It don't matter if they can't dance a lick. It don't matter what they look like. That's somebody that they're there to support. That's somebody they love most of the time. And they've got their back. And so they're shouting and carrying on. Right? Why in the world does the church just sit quiet when we've got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most beautiful one? Ever read Revelations and how He's described? I'm not talking about the lowly Jesus. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the one that's coming back to get us and pull us up into the clouds to meet Him in the air. I'm talking about the one going to be riding the white horse, and you're going to be able to recognize. I'm talking about the one that the guy said He looks like the Son of God to me. That's the one we came to worship, and yet we just sit quietly and silently. That's because the world's trained us to do it. Religion has trained us to be that way. When you go to church, you're supposed to be quiet. Well, you should be quiet and listen to a message, but you don't have to be quiet. If something's said that's right, you should say, Amen. And when the Spirit of God moves, you ought to shout. Come on. The Holy Ghost won't interrupt Himself. It'll be God when you shout. It'll be God when you praise. Listen, we've come in this house, and every time we come together, we come because of the one that we love. The one that loved us before we ever loved Him. The one that gave His Son so that we could have eternal life. So it looks to me like we ought to be able to find some way to sacrifice a shout of joy. Sacrifice a shout of praise. You see? And that's seems to be the problem with the church worldwide, is that we're waiting for something to stir us up when He's already gave us something. He's already given us the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. And I promise you, the Holy Ghost wants to give praise to God. You know, the Bible teaches that you and I were created to worship Him. That's what we were made for. And so we ought to be able to do that. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants us always praising Him, worshiping Him, shouting, glorifying His name. Now, I understand there's places you've got to have a little sense to you. You know, you can make yourself look like a fool, or you can also glorify God. Right? There's those times that the Bible says that when we're praying in tongues, we ought to pray to ourselves and God. And there's times that we pray out. Well, it's the same thing with your joy and as you shout. You know, if you're in the middle of something and it's going to cause a big disruption, then that's probably not wisdom to do that. That's casting your pearl before the swine. They're going to look at you like you're a fool. But man, when we come to church, we ought to shout. A lot of times we can't figure it. I said it the other day. I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'll close out with this thing. When Joshua and the Israelites went to bring down Jericho, Jericho was the most fortified city that they would come upon, and it was also the first city they would come upon. History tells us that the walls of Jericho were so wide that they had chariot races on top of the wall. That's how big and how fortified Jericho was. And it would be the first city that Joshua and the Israelites would face. And God would have them go out and look at that city. Just walk around and don't say nothing. Just walk around it, march around it, come back to the camp. Well, you see, when they went there, they saw how big Jericho was. They saw the walls of Jericho. But you see, when they came back to camp, they either saw that cloud that was a pillar, or they saw that fire pillar, depending on whether it was night or day. So they could go see a man-made wall, and then they'd come back and see a supernatural God. And they would do that each day. Walk around one time, but then on that last day, He said, I want you to walk around that thing 12 times. And when you hear the music play, then I want you to shout. Now, I want you to know something. None of the times that they did the walking did the walls move. When the trumpeters started trumping, the horn started blowing, the wall didn't move. When did the wall move? When they shouted. The Bible says when they began to shout, the walls came down. And we're sitting around, I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know why this keeps happening to me. I don't know where God is. I don't know. How about we shout the wall down instead of worrying about where God is? If we shout, He'll show up. Come on. If we shout, His presence comes. The walls fell when they shouted. When you begin to shout and praise God and lift God up, what happens? Then God inhabits the praises of His people. But we seem to forget that, and we seem to think, you know, God's just going to move anyway. But you see, God's waiting for you to move in faith. A sacrifice of praise is a faith move. Because I don't feel like it. You know, we tell sinners all the time, just step out. Anybody remember? You stepped out in faith. No, it wasn't really. I mean, the Lord was working, but you really didn't want to step out and go up forward. Remember? It wasn't something you really, but you took a step in faith, and then all of a sudden you found yourself up front. Next thing you know, you found yourself saved. Come on. What would happen if we would act in faith with a shout? Just begin to praise God. It changes the atmosphere in here when Brother Rick and some of the others start, they begin to just, at the beginning of the service, yeah! Come on! Praise the Lord! Worship the Lord! Now some folks are sitting here thinking they're idiots. I promise you there's some folks sitting that, and see, that's the ones that's missing it. They're the idiots. Because that's activating the Spirit of God when we're already glorifying and praising God before anything is happening. Doesn't take a song to make us praise. Come on now. We're just praising God, worshiping God because He is God. And if we'll do that, church, I'm telling you, watch what happens Sunday. You come in, I expect some of you come in shouting, praising God, worshiping God before the service starts. And let's watch and see what happens. See if God don't move in a big time way just because we invited His presence with a shout. Amen. Don't forget that. No matter what you're going through, shout. Praise God anyway. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. A shout's powerful, man. Amen. It's powerful. Yes, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much, God, for Your glory in this house, Father God. And I thank You, Lord God, that we're going to shout, we're going to praise, we're going to worship You.